Thanks, Joan. It's really great to be here. This is a wonderful series. It goes back almost 40 years, right? And thank you, Jimmy. This evening, Jimmy said that he came across this book, which was published 30 years ago. And I was surprised. I haven't looked at the book in a long time. It was published by Brighton Bush Press. He asked me to read something out of it. So I'll read one poem out of here, and then I'll read some new poems. I wrote this poem when I was 25 years old. Let's see how it sounds. It's called Evening in the Adirondacks. Always it will be late summer in your mind. Birches give off a full and dark light with a motion you know will abide and return every evening. You are changed by small things. An elm seed spins to earth, and like your talent for the cello, the possibilities remain enclosed. Being ordinary makes you a hero. Sweeping the porch, looking at the sky, you become more than yourself. The solace for being dull is being perfectly at ease with the world. All afternoon, the afternoon sails in and out the window, and the first star starts the lake singing. I'm amazed the poem still holds up pretty well. Not bad for 25 years old. I've gotten much worse through the years. It's taken a lot of practice, but one of my heroes is Lawrence Ferlin Getty, and as you know, an entrepreneur, poet, businessman, bookstore owner, and of course, publisher. He published Howl. I really admire him. This is called American Anthem. My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, where Michael Brown walked toward Darren Wilson with his hands in the air, of thee I sing. But the video taken by a construction worker on his lunch break was not shown to the grand jury. Land where my fathers died, beaten, lynched, shot. Eric Garner's last words, I can't breathe. Land of the pilgrim's pride. My great-grandfather, Sean O'Slavian, shanghaied in a Belfast bar, dove off a British man-o-war, and swam to the new world to sing. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. The bells of St. Mary's echo over Mount Washington. The Okeses, Massouches, and Kucinics sit down to dinner together. My native country, thee, land of the noble free, land of the frackers, crackers, and banksters, lawmakers for sale, taxes for the poor, access for the rich, poison our water, our air, pollute our food. Let children cough up phlegm as they play. Thy name I love. I love thy rocks and rills, thy poisoned waters, GMO food, thy woods and templed hills. My heart with rapture fills, like that above the ruined hillsides, the crumbling bridges. Let music swell the breeze and ring from all the trees, the ancient trees gone, sweet freedom's song. Let mortal tongues awake in the Ebenezer Baptist Church. Let freedom ring, let Trayvon Martin sing again, O Lord. Let all that breathe partake, let rocks their silence break, the sound prolong. Our Father's God, to thee, author of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy night. Mohammadu Aul Slahi, blindfolded, forced to drink salt water, beaten for 3 hours while immersed in ice. Protect us by thy might, great God, our King. What have we become? You remember that Tom Joad is the main character of Grapes of Wrath, John Steinbeck's great novel set in the 1930s. This is a poem, my Ars Poetica, so to speak. It's called The War for the Truth. I think of Tom Joad. A fella ain't got a soul of his own, just a little piece of a big soul, the one big soul that belongs to everybody. Then it don't matter. I'll be all around in the dark. I'll be everywhere, wherever you can look. Wherever there's a fight so hungry people can eat, I'll be there. Wherever there's a cop beating up a guy, I'll be there. I'll be in the way guys yell when they're mad. I'll be in the way kids laugh when they're hungry and they know supper's ready. And when the people are eating the stuff they raise and living in the houses they build, I'll be there too. The television is trying to sell us deodorant, giant trucks, breakfast cereal, coal mining, hydrofracking, predatory health care, and for-profit war. Disagree, and you will get into a conflict with people. Agree, and you will start a war with the entire universe. The upper Big Branch coal mine exploded, killing 29 miners, and BP's Deepwater Horizon exploded, killing 11 workers and leaking over 5 million barrels of oil. A year and a half later, Occupy occurred. I want to write a poetry that walks into that ongoing disaster and possibility, interjecting into the commercial language of success the many violations, bodily and otherwise, that define capitalist exploitation, weaving together autobiography, lies, half-truths, corporate horror stories, and labor's radical past. This poetry seeks to articulate both our devastation and our love in language familiar yet strange, composed of fragments, multiple speakers, and broken syntactical arrangements. This poetry examines lives lived in opposition to the forces that range upon our earth. I'm sure there are perfectly law-abiding and otherwise peaceable people who nurture the fantasy of murdering the architects and engineers of this oligarchy that has rendered democracy meaningless. If a sense of agency is what is needed, there are ways to rebuild it, though we may have to begin in a modest way. Dr. King, we will always blame those we feel are responsible for wars and social injustice without recognizing the violence within ourselves. Now, she said, we will talk about love. So we went down to the water where the beasts and boats lay half on the sand, untied, moving back and forth in the waves. And we pushed off for the far islands, feeling the salt spray on our faces and the sun on our shoulders. Gulls showing us the way as we started the small engine and felt the propeller push against the yielding sea. The mangroves on their tangle of thick roots were high over the water and the rush of wind on our chests and the high palm trees swaying in the morning light. The cities, stolen scraps, a bed in the dark, the lawyer's face, shadow and solitude. Stranger passing by, go tell the bankers and lawyers that here we lie, still defiant to their lies. We praise every man and woman who works for bread, but even God does not fight against necessity. The frost falls, and later the rain. The good luck and the bad, the righteous and the evil. One more poem. On a more personal note. It's called Going Deaf. Like many people, as I've grown older, I've lost part of my hearing. It doesn't seem to be correctable. And this is a poem about going deaf. And my wife, Ava, is an avid bird watcher, so that imagery occurs. And we live in Mount Washington, a lot of woods around Mount Washington, so the natural imagery around there is in the poem. It begins with an epigram, "Now is the time for drowsy tanagers." Ava Sims said that in conversation. Pretty cool, huh? "Now is the time for drowsy tanagers." Going deaf. First, I lost the tick of snowflakes hitting glass. Then the sound of the cat's tongue running over her fur. It used to be I could almost hear her tail moving, the muscles of the back stretching, the yawn going to a different register. I lost the buzz of the fly, the distant hammer of my neighbor fixing his roof, the whine of wind in the rafters, and the exact words my wife speaks as she walks away, rooms opening to other rooms, houses full of music I'll never hear as I walk by. The tinny laughter of television sitcoms I don't miss, nor bus farts, nor gunshots of the cops. But Louis Armstrong, Bessie Smith, missing a few notes is missing the whole song, the way all the beads fall to the floor when the string breaks. What I miss most are the sounds you wanted me to hear, the tu-weet, tu-weet of the hungry towee, the sississa-free of the chickadee, the twonk, twonk of the woodpecker, the walk, walk of the hungry duck, the red-winged hawk as it cries to its mate, your mother singing, and through the years her voice cracking and shattering and coming to rest inside you. I do see the flash of the cardinal in the branches, even the wood thrush almost invisible in its ground nest of leaves, the silent song sparrow carrying yarn in its beak, the return of hundreds of crows to our mountain every evening. For a long time, you thought I didn't have a hearing problem, but a listening problem. And damn it, you were right. So many sounds I ignored when I had the chance to hear them. Every morning a riot of song, the stars going out one by one, I could almost hear them. Every day our children learning to speak, every afternoon leaning into ourselves, what's the sound of two hands clapping? Soon comes silence. First the small silence of the deaf. Then the big silence growing from a spot of darkness, becoming a shadow under a tree, and finally night, starless and forever. Lost are the double entendre of the bed squeaking at night, the slant rhyme of wind in the trees, the anapest of crickets, basso profundo of the bullfrog. All that remains is the bright light on the snow and the wind silently moving the last leaves on the poplar. Perhaps as my hearing fades, my listening will improve. So every sound will call us home like our mothers in the evening. Every fear becomes a sound like echoes in the pool hall. Perhaps I will hear Chopin as you take off your bra. Remember when we were first married, how we loved being lonely together, riding the slow train from New York to Pittsburgh, the rhythm, a sympathetic magic between us. Back home, we lay in bed, kissing like waterfalls. Music is becoming a dream, then a memory of a dream, then nothing at all, just a word, an unformed idea, like color to a blind person, or like the smell of hyacinths lingering after they've been carried out of the room. You, my best half, know, when I hate myself, I hate us. And you flee to the woods to be with your birds, your snow-filled trails, your deep ravines and wooden bridges, braided waterfalls, stone culverts, and the singing of the stars as they go out one by one. Robin, the sentinel bird, lets out a cry, and the pileated woodpecker chases the hawk away. Oh, love, let us ride the lonely train to Pittsburgh forever, where the November symphony becomes fainter every year. Thanks a lot.